try to move the wisest I can be. Yeah, rubbish in my iris, all I see. Yeah, still made errors when I'm trying to learn. One more chance, swear that's all I need. What's up, this?
Yo, yo, yo. It's been a long time coming, but the Bucks and Four podcast is back and in full effect. It's been a long time coming, like I said, but, you know, we're going to be more consistent. Season's about to start. A lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to discuss. A lot of things have happened and transpired this offseason. Hell, the past few years, actually. I mean, it's been a while since my last episode, but yeah, man, we here. It's going to be a fun season coming up. A lot of changes to the roster, to the overall dynamic of the team. And like I said, a lot of things to discuss. So first and foremost, I do want to address something, and that's the elephant in the room. And that's... Do the Bucks need to make a trade, or are the Bucks fine as is, or at least for right now, right? Thinking of trades, thinking of moves to make. The obvious name, the most thrown around name as of right now, of course, is the infamous Kyle Kuzma. Now, there's a lot of hate going around about Kyle Kuzma, a lot of criticism. And I'm not going to be the one to tell you you're wrong, because you're absolutely right. He's ass. Now, the unfortunate part about the situation is the fact that you can't really trade ass. You have to wait until replenish the value of said ass player. Now, until that happens, unfortunately, he's more than likely stuck on this roster, which is cool, because I do think that, unlike in previous years, the Bucks have a lot of depth this year. And I think that's going to be our calling card, and that's going to be our X factor. It's not going to be a single person, per se, as far as that X factor. I think it's going to be a collective effort in terms of, you know, how we do things this year. Obviously, Damian Lillard is no longer in Milwaukee, which I'm personally pretty happy about. Excuse me. I think great player, you know what I'm saying, great. Top 75 player, superstar, whatever, you know what I mean? But in terms of winning the Larry O'Brien, I don't want Damian Lillard as my point guard personally. And I'm just, you know, kind of glad things worked out the way they worked out, in a sense of just like, you know, I mean, obviously I didn't want him to get hurt. If we could take back the injury, that'd be way better. Actually, that's probably the best scenario. He doesn't get hurt and we're able to actually trade him for assets, instead of losing him for essentially nothing. But we did, in a sense, there were two blessings in disguise, I guess you can say, in terms of, well, maybe three. I would say three blessings in disguise. Really four. Shit, four blessings in disguise. In regards to Damian Lillard no longer being on the team, right? First, we were able to get Miles Turner, right? So we have a center to replace Brook Lopez, mobile, young, can stretch the floor, protect the rim, block shots, the whole nine, right? So cool. The second blessing, you now have a team in which Giannis is in full control. He doesn't have to worry about sharing the load. He doesn't have to worry about sharing floor general duties. Everything is going to be based on Giannis's play style, his personality, and just his overall way about doing things, right? With Damian Lillard, he comes to the game, he's slowing things down. You know, he's trying to set up plays and the offense in a way in which is conducive to him in the way he plays, which is not necessarily what aligns with how Giannis plays. Getting up and down, going off of instinct, less strategic, less strategy, more instinct, more going off of, you know, you just kind of reacting. and going with the flow of how the things are going at the time. I think with Damian Lillard, the way the offense was ran, the way the overall team was being ran, it just seemed like you had two different energy dynamics, which was something that was predicted, you know what I'm saying, by the Zodiac GM via Twitter when we traded for Damian Lillard. So it's just, you know, I don't believe in coincidences, but there's you know, no coincidence that, you know, it didn't really work out in terms of those two energies together. So, yeah, that's two birds right there, two blessings in disguise right there. On top of that, we're able to have more of a defensive identity to this team with Damian Lillard going. You cannot have a defensive-minded team with Damian Lillard on your roster in the rotation. It's impossible. You got to have a different type of setup for your team. But you can't be a defensive-oriented team with Damian Lillard being a leader on that team, because he's not going to lead by example. Therefore, the accountability is going to be in question a lot of times with certain situations in the season, and it's just not going to bode well overall for the roster. If your leader of the team is not doing what the overall mission statement of the team is for that season, then it's not going to look well. It's not going to look right, right? So you can have a defensive-minded team with Giannis, because Giannis is actually going to play defense. So everybody else kind of has to step up and, you know, talk the talk, not just walk the walk. Or excuse me, walk the walk, not just talk the talk. So that's three. And then the last thing, and something I really want to get on, and that's we're opening up the point guard position to not only Kevin Porter Jr., but also Ryan Rollins and Cole Anthony as well. So ultimately, I'm glad things worked out the way they worked out. Wish things could have happened a little bit different, but, you know, hey, we're here. Last stretch of the season, Kevin Porter Jr. showed a lot of promise. Now, I know the playoffs didn't go as well, didn't go as planned. A lot of people, you know, they criticized Kevin Porter Jr. for his playoff performance, and rightfully so. I'm not going to sit here and act like he just had a great playoff performance or even a good playoff performance. You know what I mean? He had good moments. He may have had a good game, maybe two, but all in all, he did have definite bad games as well, definite bad moments as well. So I can't be mad at anyone, you know, criticizing Kevin Porter Jr., claiming he's not, you know, a franchise starting point guard, especially on a contending team or a team with title aspirations. And so I get it, you know. I get it. You see something with your eyeballs, and that's all you can imagine, right? But I'm going to let you know that you're wrong. I mean, you're wrong. You don't know ball. Kevin Porter Jr. can play. He's always been able to play. His biggest thing, his biggest issue has always been decision-making on and off the court. I am of the belief that in this system, with the leaders that we have on this team, our head coach and the head of operations, or at least with the X's and O's. I know, you know, he's not the GM or anything like that or anything, but with our head coach being a point guard, a former point guard, historically great point guard, that is going to be very beneficial to not only Kevin Porter Jr. moving forward, but of course, you know, Ryan Rollins, Cole Anthony as well. Most people who look at the Bucks roster, look at this Bucks team, they think that the point guard position, and probably the small forward position as well, but they think that the point guard position is our weakest position. You know, most people look at the roster as being completely trash without Giannis. I'm not here to debate that. It's about perspective. Depending on how you look at it, that can be true. But if you look at it from a realistic perspective, we have some players on this team, man. A lot of guys who have a lot to prove, chip on their shoulder, etc. And in our situation, three of those guys are at the point guard position. So the position that a lot of people claim is our weakest link, our weakest spot, is going to be one of our strengths, in my opinion. We can go three deep at that position. A lot of teams can't really say that. I would feel comfortable with either of those three starting. A lot of teams can't say they have three point guards on their depth chart that they feel comfortable starting. And I don't think we'll miss a beat with either of them starting. Obviously, and this is what, you know, the overall consensus seems to be in terms of the Bucks fan base, but Kevin Porter Jr. is going to be the one to start. You know, Doc Rivers has come out and said it. He's going to be the one to get the keys to start. And I think that that'll be a long-term solution for the Bucks. And I think that's going to be something that's going to be the case years from now. He's only 25. I can see him being here for the rest of his career. He's the type of guy that needs a home. He needs a home to solidify continuity, to solidify chemistry, being comfortable. And I don't think he's the type of guy that needs to be in a big city with bright lights and a lot of distractions. He needs to be in a city in which he can hone in on his talent and his goals and his mission. And we all would assume that that's being the best basketball player he can be and to win. So, and not only that, he has a whole narrative that he needs to do his own PR right now. He has a lot of things in his past that's going to continue to haunt him as a dark cloud over his head. And the only way that can sort of mediate that, in my opinion, is to, of course, not make bad decisions off the court or really on the court as well. Because you having a low IQ on the court, people are going to equate that to what you do off the court. And this is going to be a whole package of you are not smart. So you need to, well, he needs to do some PR, man. You need to, and a good way to do PR is on a basketball court, you being the unselfish one, you being the one to get the 50-50 balls, you being the one to sacrifice for the team, you beating all the odds, because all odds are stacked up against him, so you overcoming narratives that you can't play point guard, that you can't lead a team, or you can't, you know, make good decisions on the court. So I think him just kind of proving people wrong in that regard, it's going to help his overall PR. You know what I mean? Not saying it'll erase shit that has happened in the past, but hey, you got to at least try. And if he's going to be our franchise point guard, we're going to deal with a lot of his past. We can't run from it. And that's from the front office down to the fans. So something we got to live with. It's more importantly, something he has to live with. But like I said, I think him just doing those things on the court to show that, hey, he's willing to put something else above himself, lower that ego, you know what I'm saying, things like that, I think that's going to help him moving forward. But ultimately, if Kevin Porter Jr. established himself as a legit defender in his league, I think that's what's really going to set him up for success in terms of his overall narrative, his overall image. I think guys that, you know, give their all on defense for the bigger picture, for the bigger cause, for the team, the unselfishness, all these good character traits, you know, those types of things. That's what Kevin Porter Jr. needs to lean into. Don't try to be the superstar. You naturally have the talent of a star, so you don't have to force it. You don't have to convince us. We know, right? You need to convince us that you can be a good decision maker. You can be a consistently good defender. Those are the two things that we're needing from Kevin Porter Jr. And I'm sure somebody's aware enough in his team, his circle, on the Bucks coaching staff. Somebody is telling him this information, maybe in different words, you know. But that's something that he needs to most definitely focus on for sure. Now, with that being said, competition is a great way to bring the best out of anyone in any setting, whether you want to talk about sports or work setting, anything, right? Ryan Rollins and Cole Anthony are no slouches, right? Ryan Rollins, he has developed this identity of being a defensive-minded guard. Cole Anthony, sort of the opposite, more of an offensive-minded guard, but he has defensive intangibles, right? He brings energy, effort. He's quick, can get after the ball when you're dribbling, things like that. But he's, you know, not necessarily considered a lockdown defender, but he's going to give you some effort. And a lot of times, effort goes a long way. I mean, if you've ever played ball in your life, whoever listening to this, we know as far as basketball, defense is mainly effort. You know, you got athleticism plays a part into it. Team defense, things like that. But overall, effort is the most important thing. So if he's bringing that effort, we can't, you know, we can't fault him for being 6'2", 6'1". You know, we can't fault him for not being the stockiest, strongest, biggest guy in the world. All these things that, quote unquote, make you a great defender. But, you know, he's bringing the effort. I got to respect it. And that's going to get him on the court. And we're going to need him on the court. I think he's going to be that spark plug. He's going to be that, you know, possibly sixth man for us. I mean, he's been in the sixth man of the year talks before, along with Bobby Portis, of course, as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how those two guys are utilized coming off the bench, who's going to be considered the sixth man officially. Or is it going to be like a case-by-case basis type of thing? Like, depending on, you know, if there's a guard in foul trouble, Cole comes in. If there's a big in foul trouble, BP come in. So I can see it happening either way. But more importantly, I think Cole Anthony is going to bring a level of offensive creation that's going to be needed. When you eliminate somebody like a Damian Lillard from the roster, a top 75 player, a dynamic offensive player, we're going to have to make up for his, you know, his absence in other ways and through other players. And through our point guard committee, I think that's going to be done like without a doubt. I can see a world in which both Cole Anthony and Kevin Porter Jr. Take substantial leaps this year. I could see a world in which Ryan Rollins does the same thing. You know, there was a reason why he was heavily, you know, looked into this offseason before he signed with the Bucks. There were several teams looking at Ryan Rollins. If I remember correctly, you had like the Spurs, you had the Suns. You know, there were several teams interested in Ryan Rollins. And I think that, you know, that's for a reason. You know, we all have access to these websites with analytics, the stats, the numbers, more than ever before, right? For the most part, those numbers are indicating that Ryan Rollins is a great defender, or at least will be a great defender. Great is a very strong word, especially in basketball. So I'll say good defender. He's a good defender right now, right? But the numbers show he can be great. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm looking for. You know, be that guard for us. You know, be that prime George Hill for us. Be that, you know, Drew Holiday, Bledsoe type of energy that we need. You know, we need that guard that can get on the other team's best guard and wreak havoc. Go over screens, get on top of screens, or get over on screens. Stay with your man. Pick up 94 feet, you know, like Pat Bev. Who he's familiar with. You know, hopefully these vets are rubbing off on these players, which I'm sure they are. But yeah, that's what we need. And truthfully speaking, we're not getting that with Damian Lillard. The offensive firepower that we're going to get from KPJ and Cole Anthony, we're not getting that with Drew Holiday. So, and then the defense that KPJ bringing, Ryan Rollins bringing, even Cole bringing, we're not getting that with Damian Lillard. So I think that alone, you know, we're gonna change some narratives. We have a lot of narratives to change in general with the Bucks, but that narrative as far as our point guard spot, that's gonna be completely changed soon. Like, I truly believe that. And to take it even further, I'm gonna be willing to predict that Kevin Porter Jr. has a chance to be an All-Star this year. I think that with Giannis being the sole superstar in this team, everything's running through him in terms of just like the overall identity of the team, how we play, et cetera. Everybody's going to be able to play freely. And with Kevin Porter Jr., him getting the keys early, Doc already saying he's starting. Doc already saying he's going to be a starting point guard. You don't have to go into the season with a uncertain role, uncertain identity of how you're going to approach this team. Does this team even want me? You know, does the NBA want me? Am I supposed to be here still? I made mistakes in the past. Am I forgiven? A lot of shame. I'm pretty sure a lot of, you know, a lot of negative things going on in his, or were going on in his head in the past before, you know, getting his new contract, finding a new home, right? He has a new home. He has all the talent in the world. We've seen it. Last season with the Rockets, we saw what happened. We saw the numbers he put up. We saw the contract he signed, right? If that incident never happened off the court, Kevin Porter Jr. would be $100 million player, fringe all-star, you know, endorsement deals, everything, right? We wouldn't be able to afford to get a Kevin Porter Jr. in Milwaukee if he didn't do what he did. So now I think Kevin Porter Jr. can actually come into his own. So if he becomes an all-star, if we're a top three, top four seed, whatever the case may be, and we have to have two all-stars from the roster on the squad, on the two all-stars from the Bucks in the all-star game, outside of Giannis, of course, I can see it being Kevin Porter Jr. Now, I can also see it being Miles Turner, who we're going to talk about in a bit, but I can ultimately see it being Kevin Porter Jr. Because it's not going to be Kuzma. Not going to be Bobby Portis. Not going to be Gary Trent. None of these guys, right? So it literally has to be Kevin Porter Jr. Now, I can also see a world in which we only have one all-star. Like, that's probably the most realistic outcome of everything. That Giannis is the only all-star on the team, which is cool. That's fine. That's good for his MVP case, which I think that's something that's going to happen this year as well. And that's another prediction I'm going to be willing to make. Giannis is winning his third MVP. Kevin Porter Jr. is making an all-star game for the first time. And I'll even throw out another prediction, man. I would say, now I know there's a chance that, you know, the rotations and the starting lineup things can fluctuate throughout the season, but I'm expecting Cole Anthony to come off the bench the whole season. I know there's a possibility he could start. He can play the one, he can play the two, I'm sure. But I see him coming off the bench. But I'm willing to predict either Cole or BP has a chance or will win Sixth Man of the Year. So I'm throwing it out there as well. I'm predicting we get out the first round this season. I'm predicting we'll have a better season than we did the past two seasons, maybe the past three seasons. This team is slept on, man. At the end of the day, this team is slept on. We got a lot to prove, a lot of people to prove wrong, and a lot of people to prove right, because you do have those that actually see the vision with this team, and shout out to y'all, because, and mainly Bucks fans, I'm sure. People might call us homers or delusional, etc. But small market fan base, bro. We gonna ride with our team, bro. End of the day, we riding. You know what I'm saying? It's ride or die shit. So if you think that the Bucks not gonna make noise this season, you not with us. You against us, and that's fine. But that's just the line drawn in the sand. Giannis is gonna have a fantastic year. He's gonna go back to being the best player in the world. As far as the overall consensus, like Bucks fans, we know this. We know the truth. We know what's going on with Giannis, but the overall narrative, as far as, you know, who's the alpha, who's the top dog in the league, it's gonna be Giannis again soon, very soon. So I'm willing to stand on those words. I'm stamping that. Bucks and Four podcast is stamping that, man. Giannis is gonna be considered the best player in the world again very soon, man. Because he's doing it on both ends of the floor. He's not just an offensive minded player. And as we have seen throughout the history of the sport, man, the best players are the ones who play both ends of the floor. Out of respect of the game, I think it should stay that way. This new NBA, this new media, this new analytics shit, you got guys who don't play a lick of defense being considered the best. And I think that has completely tarnished the sport. Giannis is needed in today's times, in today's NBA. That two-way prowess that he has, which is a lot of times overlooked and disrespected, is ultimately going to be the reason why he's going to be considered the best player in the world again. And I'm standing on that. It's going to happen very soon. My biggest concern with this team moving forward is Doc Rivers. Obviously, we could probably make another trade or two. Obviously, we don't have the assets to make a big splash at the current moment. Probably better off waiting until the offseason, in which we'll have three first-round picks to trade. We'll have some expiring contracts to deal. We'll have some replenished value for some of our guys. So it's probably best to wait to make a trade. But until then, we can't really even consider it, right? It's It doesn't exist. A trade doesn't exist until it happens. So we have to worry about what we have. We have to worry about the cards we're dealt. With Doc Rivers being the coach, I'm a little concerned about his decision-making, as most of us probably are. I'm not going to be completely out on Doc Rivers, as he's never really, at least with his Bucks roster, he hasn't really had a full, healthy roster. So it's hard to fully blame or criticize Doc Rivers for our shortcomings. But I will say he's not the most savvy or smartest. He's not the smartest coach. Very frustrating to watch. But I think with the unorthodox approach that we're taking this season in terms of the roster construction, in terms of just the overall dynamic of the team, I think Doc Rivers has some room to prove himself and to grow as well as a coach. You know, you're approaching this season with only one superstar, not a lot of all-stars, not a lot of this, not a lot of that, not a lot of expectations. If anything, you have a lot of expectations to be asked. So I expect Doc to prove people wrong this season, and I'm hoping for that. I'm rooting for that. I would love to, you know, live in a world in which Doc Rivers is actually considered a good coach. And, of course, that's not going to happen again until he wins again. And rightfully so. You know, you got to win. You got to, you know. And I'm not going to sit here and act like he's some terrible coach. I know we've probably all said it as Bucks fans before out of frustration. But if you've won a ring in this league, you're not a terrible coach. You know, you might be a victim of circumstance. The time's changing. Maybe you're stuck in your old ways, et cetera. But you have some sort of basketball knowledge in between your ears. We just got to pull it out this year. And I think it's going to be something that's, you know, it's going to be needed. The way this team is set up, the way his roster is set up, we need Doc to pull out his best, you know, mentally. We need all of that this year. So I think that's going to happen for sure. I think the bench and overall depth of this team is going to be very crucial moving forward. So not saying we should have a 10-deep rotation, especially in the playoffs, but throughout the regular season, I mean, you can expect to see a lot of different lineups, a lot of different rotations, a lot of different, you know, scenarios in which Doc is trying shit out. We got a lot of players that can play a lot of different positions. So, I'm expecting a creative approach from Doc this season. Throw out a lineup with Cole Anthony and Kevin Porter Jr. as the backcourt. You know? Throw out a lineup with AJ Green and Amir Coffey on the wings shooting. You know, throw out different lineups. Try different things. Try a lineup in which you got, you know, Giannis is the only big out there. You got all guards. We have a lot of ways we can approach this season that we really haven't had in the past. I mean, with the you know, previous rosters, you probably only had one guard that can handle the ball and do some shit. You know, we got three young dynamic guards with chips on their shoulders, bro. Ryan Rollins, not highly recruited, Midwest kid. You know, Toledo, mid-major. Two different teams before he came to the Bucks. Incident off the court, almost was out of the league. I'm pretty sure he got arrested for that, right? Stealing it from Target. Negative narratives, right? Going from playing on a championship team to going to the worst team in the league in the Wizards. Finally get an opportunity. Now you got to go through the G League again. Finally earn his spot. Still got a lot to prove. Fucked his shoulder up last season. Still earn his money. Respect. Gotta respect that. Anybody who's been through sports injuries, injuries in general, surgeries, things like that, hard to come back from. So just, you know, gotta respect his work ethic, his diligence. But chip on the shoulder. Ironically, he messed his shoulder up, but he got a chip on that motherfucker, right? Got a lot to prove. Cole Anthony, 15 pick in the draft. Should have been a franchise starter at this point by now in his career. Should have been the Orlando Magic's point guard of the future. He should be there right now, right? No, they traded his ass. He had all the opportunity in the world to be the biggest, whatever. That in the NBA, you got resources, you got money, you got access to trainers, facilities, your whole life. Just signed a minimum deal after being traded and waived, right? So, or bought out. So it's like, automatically you got a chip on your shoulder. He's a good dude, though. He doesn't, no ego with Cole, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, I don't know the dude, right? But got to respect the way Cole carries himself. So I think no matter where he goes, he's going to have fans. People are going to root for him because they want to see people like that. People want to see people like that win. That's just human nature, right? If you got a soul in your body, a spirit, you want to see people like that win. That's just what it is. So with Cole Anthony, I think him being at one point highly recruited, Oak Hill, with Cam Thomas, by the way, Oak Hill, North Carolina, injured at North Carolina, still drafted, Orlando Magic, they ended up going with Suggs. You know, he got out, you know, outworked for his spot. You got beat out your spot, got traded. They drafted Anthony Black, Suggs. You're out of there, buddy. You got to have a chip on your shoulder. Big Lay's Frito-Lay chip on your shoulder because of that. And then, you got Kevin Porter Jr., right? Franchise point guard for the Rockets to playing in Greece. You got to have a chip on your shoulder, bro. The whole world fucking hates you damn near, right? Not literally, but a lot of people dislike you because of things that happened in the past, off-the-court issues. You know, you have those who are more gracious, more forgiving, more open-minded about how we approach people. And a lot of situations can be very fragile, of course, but ultimately, I think Kevin Porter Jr. has a chip on his shoulder because of that. And even if you wipe away all off-the-court issues, based on his upbringing, his background, based on what we know about what happened to his father in his past, things like that, like, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. You're going to have a chip on your shoulder. Coming from where he come from, having that traumatic experience happen in his past with his father, you know what I mean? Not to even, you know, bringing that up or anything like that. But you're going to naturally have a chip on your shoulder, bro. So off rip, you got three guys at the point guard position, chips on the shoulder. Damian Lillard didn't have a chip on his shoulder, bro. That's just how I feel. He doesn't play like he has a chip on his shoulder. He never really did. Maybe early in his career. But with his Bucks stint, no chip, bro. No chip at all. So just off the strength of that alone, I think that Giannis is a type of guy with a natural chip on his shoulder. His upbringing, his background, his traumatic past, his not being wanted, not this, that, and the third. You know what I mean? So going through what he went through just to overcome his obstacles to get to where he's at today, he's not going to bode well with players who don't have chips on their shoulders, bro. So we got a lot of guys on our team with chips on their shoulders. AJ Green, not drafted, not highly recruited, bro. Chip on the shoulder, bro. His dad was his coach his whole career. Chip on your shoulder, bro. Your dad is your coach your whole career. You have a chip on your shoulder, bro. Like he's instilling that in you. That's just what it is. You know, coffee, training camp deal. Off rip, you got something to prove. Ajax, something to prove if he's on the team. Which is another conversation. Miles Turner, your team that drafted you gave up on you. They didn't want to pay you. Chip on your shoulder. Bobby Portis, he's the ultimate chip on the shoulder guy. You know what I mean? Gary Trent should have way more money in his pockets, apparently, right? Supposedly. That's what they say. Chip on your shoulder. Everybody got a chip on their shoulder on this team. If you've played ball before, if you've been on a court with guys with chips on their shoulders, they don't even have to be more talented than you. They don't have to be the most talented players on the court. But if they have something to prove, if they feel like they're back against the wall, they're gonna show up and show out. So that's what I think. That's what I feel. I'm looking forward to this season. I think the Bucks gonna have a great season this year. We're gonna prove a lot of people wrong. But first and foremost, we gotta figure out this roster. Too many players, some people gotta go. I am predicting and suggesting that we go ahead and eliminate Ajax from the roster. Tyler Smith, you can go. I fuck with you. I got your autograph. But I'm a Bucks fan first, not a Tyler Smith fan. Let's keep this shit a buck. I would love for you to grow here, just like I wanted AJ Johnson to stay here and grow. Well, I also got his autograph. Y'all was my dogs. But we got to keep it a band. If we willing to trade AJ, hell, we're willing to trade Chris, Dame, all these guys. Nobody untouchable, bro, unless you're Giannis. It is what it is, bro. Like, I hope the best for you in your career. the whole nine. I hope you're able to stay and grow, etc. But the way shit looking right now, what's today's date? October 2nd. As of October 2nd, 2025, you can go, bro. I'm sorry. Summer League, Chris Livingston is the guy, bro. He was the young guy that we need to build around, build with. So with that being said, bro, Tyler Smith, you can go. You can get. I would hope it's via trade. I would hope we don't waste Tyler Smith as an asset by just cutting him. Same with Ajax. I hope we're able to pull off a trade before the start of the season. I don't know how or in what way, but maybe a 2-for-1 trade, a 3-for-1 trade, including Kuzma, which I doubt, but you never know, right? Horace has done more random things before in the past. Amir Coffey is making this team. I don't have any doubt about that. He's the exact profile we need, a 6'7", 6'8", type wing, can shoot. That's like his main attribute is being able to shoot and be a decently switchable defender, right? He's not a great lockdown defender or anything like that, but you put somebody in a position to earn more money. Hey, you got a chance to earn more money if you can come in and defend on the wing and actually lock up. He probably wasn't asked to do that as much with the Clippers. You know, you got Kawhi, you got all these other wings, Dunn, you got defenders, right? So with the Bucks, he can make that his identity. You never know. So I would say, yeah, Coffee's definitely making the team. We already know Thanasis is on the team. I doubt they cut Livingston. Like, why pay him just to cut him when he overly showed out, you know what I'm saying, during summer league? Like, you gotta reward that type of shit, bro. If not, what young guy's gonna wanna come to the Bucks and actually feel like he can grow here? When every time somebody has shown promise, we cut them, we traded them, we gave up on them. You can't use the excuse that, oh, we're a contender. Like, bro, we've been bounced out the playoffs back to back to back to back to back. Fuck all that, bro. Like, you gotta start treating and doing shit the right way as an organization. And that starts with how you draft, how you develop guys, how you develop young players, etc. Not saying we just can't do it at all. Like, we've, you know, we're doing it now with Rollins, with AJ Green. You know, DiVincenzo had his, you know, his moments in the past. I personally feel like AJ Johnson was on his way of being a Milwaukee superstar, literally. I think we were actually developing him the right way. It's just we gave up and we made the wrong fucking decision. And I don't know what the fuck Horse was thinking by trading Middleton and AJ for Kuzma and Patrick Baldwin, just to waive Patrick Baldwin. Patrick Baldwin's probably better than Kuzma. And I'm so serious. But he definitely would have been the best young player on our team. So, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. I think, yeah, Coffee is definitely making the team. Thanasis on the team. Livingston's on the team. Two people got to go. I doubt they cut Gary Harris. So I guess it's possible, but I doubt, why would you cut Gary Harris when you can't even trust to put Tyler or Ajax, well, really Tyler on the court. You could put Ajax on the court, but you have to, the lineup has to be structured in a certain way because he's a liability on offense. He doesn't exist on offense. He's a football player that plays basketball. But yeah, so ultimately, yeah, I think that Horace needs to make a trade just so that we don't waste assets. But if we can't get a trade pulled off, based on the CBA, the market, things like that, it seems like trades aren't as easy anymore. So if we don't make a trade, I understand, I get it, right? But you cut them. Let them go earn something somewhere else, right? And in the meantime, go with Amir Coffey, bro. I think Amir is going to be a rotational player. He can slide in at the 3. He can slide in at the 2. And he can shoot. That's needed. So, ultimately, as far as his roster, man, I think it's a pretty strong roster. It's underrated, but it's strong. We're going to be very fast-paced. A very deep team. I think that we're going to have a lot of people prove a lot of people wrong, as I've said. But more importantly, I think that we're going to win a lot. We're not going to be some low 40s team. Like, we're going to be – I don't want to make a prediction as far as how many games we win. That's going to be based on injuries. There's so many things that plays into that. But We're gonna make the playoffs. We're gonna make it out the first round, and I'm gonna say we're making it out the second round as well, bro. Like I feel very strongly about this team, and I do feel like we're one piece away, and I do feel like Horst is the type of guy who knows when we're one piece away, and he's willing to make that move, right? So, for instance, traded for Drew, in the offseason, the year we won the championship, that deadline we traded for PJ Tucker. That was the move that made us win the championship. If we would have just had Drew, we wasn't gonna win the championship. We saw that the years after we won a championship, before we traded Drew, what we can do with just Drew as our sole defender, as our, you know, whatever, our latest addition, right? It just can't be him. It had to be PJ Tucker as well. PJ Tucker was the one guarding KD. It wasn't Drew. Drew probably guarded him sometimes, but we needed PJ to win that ring. And I'm saying this to say, we have a solid team right now. We have a solid team right now. It's a decent to a good team. I'm giving Horst to the deadline, bro, to really make this a legit contender. I'm not saying we're not a contender when you have the best player in the world on your team, which I'm standing on. You're a contender. I've heard a comparison that we'll be like the 09 Cavaliers. And if I'm not mistaken, they had the best record in the regular season the year LeBron decided to go to South Beach. That prior season, they had like the best record in the whole league, bro. Like, and they just, you know, according to everybody else in the narratives, etc., it was just LeBron and a bunch of guys. So I think you can mirror or you know, do an analogy as far as the current Bucks to that previous Cavaliers team. I think you got Giannis and quote-unquote a bunch of guys. Of those guys, you got guys with chips on their shoulders. You got a center, a modern center who was just in the finals. Chip on the shoulder. I was just there. I tasted it, and somebody smacked it out of my mouth. As soon as I took a bite of my burger, somebody grabbed it out of my hand. So he got a chip on his shoulder, off rip. Yeah, man. We're gonna prove a lot of people wrong. I think Miles is gonna be a possible All-Star, possible DPOY, second team All Defense at least. I'm standing on that for sure. Yeah, man. I think this is gonna be a very fun season. Let me see. Do I want to touch on anything else before I end this? Let me see. I think that boy KPJ. KBJ about to go crazy this year, man. And I honestly think Kuzma gonna have a solid year too. Not like an all-star, nothing like that, but you know, I think he'll be a lot better than last year coming into the season with a full year with the Bucks, a full training camp with the Bucks. Same with KBJ, like all these guys, that we got in the middle of the season last year, they're gonna do a lot better. Sims, you know, all these guys, right? But I think Kuzma's going to have a lot better season. It's hard to have a worse season than what he just had, especially playoff-wise. I don't necessarily feel like he's going to make it to the playoffs this upcoming season. I think he'll be traded by them. But, you know, we'll see. You never know. If you can trade Kuzma for somebody of value without giving up a first-round pick, you got to do it. Because we'll still have three first-round picks to trade this upcoming offseason or next offseason, so I'm looking for that for sure. You might have to attach somebody along with Kuzma to get his contract off. We got a shit ton of shooting guards. You just never know what can happen. So I'm looking for that. That's the move I'm really looking for this upcoming season by the deadline. Are we going to trade Kuzma along with an expendable position player, a guard specifically, along with Kuzma to get that 3-and-D wing we're looking for? No, not a Jeremiah Grant, you know, nobody like that. Like somebody like legit, right? Somebody that can actually step into that starting three position and stay there until Giannis retires, bro. Like, you know, the Wiggins, the Herb Jones, you know, these types of guys, that's what we need. McDaniels, say the Timberwolves, something goes wrong, they blow it up, you know, go after McDaniels, you know, go get a 3-and-D guy that can slide right in. Doesn't need the ball in his hand to be valuable. That's why the 3-and-D aspect is the most important thing when it comes down to trading for that next player that we get. they got to be able to play defense, and that has to be their calling card. Of course, they have to bring offense as well, but we don't need another offensive superstar, in my opinion. We don't really need another guy that's offensive-oriented to play alongside Giannis. We don't really need that. We got a lot of offense right now in terms of, you know, the KPJs, the AJ Greens, the Gary Trents. So we can score. We need somebody that can come in and bring that defensive energy that Drew brought, that PJ brought. And as Bucks fans, real ball-knowing Bucks fans, we know this. You know, this is the piece that we've been missing since we won a ring. Since we lost PJ to Miami, bro. Like, I remember that. When he chose Miami, we didn't really want to pay him, I guess. But we haven't been the same since, bro. We haven't been the same since we lost that dog on the wing. So once we get that back, that's when we're really going to make noise. But, yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see what happens. Looking forward to the season. I think guys like, you know, Chris Livingston, they'll be able to show something this season. Ryan Rollins going to be able to show something this season. Even Sims, Jericho Sims, going to be able to show something this season that he hasn't in the past. You know, and the Knicks didn't really do a whole lot, you know. A lot of negative criticism to how he played or his lack of ability to do certain things offensively, but I think Sims is going to have a great impact with the Bucks. He's probably going to be our long-term backup center, bro. I mean, I don't really think we need much from that position with our front court, which is the best front court in the league. Standing on that, hands down, not Dallas, not the Lakers, not none of these teams. Clippers, Philly, none of these teams got a better front court than the Bucks. I'm standing on that. Rockets, I don't care who you are, nobody. Nobody. The Rockets especially. Everybody going to say the Rockets got the best front court in the league. No, not going for it. Nah, well, shit, bro. They might, because small forward is considered part of the front court. So they actually might, bro. With KD, Jabari, Sengun, not a big Sengun fan, but with KD there, you kind of got to give it to him. But as far as the East, I'll at least say that. We got the best front court in the East, for sure. So with that being said, I think that's going to, you know, carry us a lot this season. We just got to... We just gotta make this shit happen, bro. We gotta do it. You know, no excuses. Chips on the shoulder. Make it happen. KPJ at the one. I'm going Trent at the two. AJ Green at the three. Giannis and Miles Turner. I can see a world in which Kuzma starts. I can see a world in which, you know, Kuzma come off the bench. We'll see what happens. But that's the starting five I'm throwing out there. I'm throwing, like I said, KBJ, Trent, AJ Green, Giannis, Miles Turner. That's the starting five I'm rolling with. I know we're kind of small at the small forward spot, but hey, you know, throw Trent at, you know, Trent's an inch taller than AJ. Throw Trent at the three, then put AJ at the two. However you want to do it, that's the starting five. I got Cole and BP coming off the bench as 6th and 7th men. I got TP in the rotation. I got Coffee in the rotation. I got Rollins in the rotation as well. I think that's 8 or 9 players. Throw out Sims and spot minutes. I'm giving Livingston spot minutes. He earned it in summer league. I'm giving Livingston spot minutes. Gary Harris getting spot minutes. Yeah, man. I think. I guess Kuzma. I forgot about Kuzma. Off the bench, you know, he's gonna obviously play, right? But it's hard to really put him in a rotation because I would ideally not want him on the team. But it is what it is. We got him. Got to rock with it. Should have AJ and Chris, but hey. I'm just set the record straight before I end this. I'll never forgive Horace for trading AJ Johnson. I will never forgive, bro. I will never in my life forgive him for trading AJ Johnson. A lot of people may feel like the AJ Johnson hype is overrated or he shouldn't be getting all this praise. He hasn't done much. He hasn't shown much. He's not that good, etc. Just wait on it, bro. Just wait on it, bro. I'm not even going to defend my take on it. I'm not going to, you know, try to convince anyone anything, bro. I'm not that type of person. Everybody has a right to their own opinion. It's all about perspective, whatever, right? AJ Johnson is going to be a dog. He's already a dog. He's going to be a superstar. I'm standing on that. We should have kept him. But everything happens for a reason. So we'll just leave it at that. It's going to be a great season. Like I said, top 4 to 5 seed. And, yeah, we doing damage in the playoffs. making it out the second round. Definitely making it out the first round. Giannis winning MVP. Kevin Porter Jr. All-Star year. Kohler BP Sixth Man of the Year. Yeah, I'm standing on that. Bucks and Four podcast, we out, man.